Oh.
Bad boy. Yoda's not a little kid. Yoda's like a toad, like a squash toad.
No, Yodel.
Shout out to Ogdude. Shout out to Mr. Dodger. Thanks for listening.
On the FFG forums. Right, anyway, shall I start the show then?
Yeah, let's start the show.
Okay, hello, you're listening to Double Triumph, a podcast dedicated to Star Wars role-playing in the FFG system for Edge of the Empire and Age of Rebellion in the UK. This is Bob Shoy, and with me as always...
Adam Tissington.
So, Tiss, what's going on?
What is going on? We've got a new structure to the show.
Hopefully this show will be sounding better because we've got...
better equipment.
Yeah, all new working. Equipment. You're listening to the all new Double Triumph.
Yeah, I'm gonna clear Double Triumph.
I'm gonna do a new episode one for the third time.
Yeah.
So this is the start of clear, focused, good sounding episodes in the future. We haven't had a game this week.
No.
So
everyone's flaked.
Yeah. We spent the time we would be playing setting up this equipment.
Yep.
And getting the pod on track. This week, what we got to talk about? In news?
Yeah, we've got news. I haven't got the notes in front of me.
I'll tell you what, I'll tell you the news and you give me your reactions.
Cool.
Force Awakens. Star Wars Episode 7. Don't know if you heard about this. They're doing a new Star Wars film.
Oh, right, okay.
Right. They announced the trailer for it this week. The full trailer will be at the start of Avengers Age of Ultron.
That's gutting for me because I'm not going to watch that film.
It's great for me because I'll be going to see that film and I'll get to see the Star Wars trailer. So
I would pay to go and see the trailer. Actually, I probably won't. I won't bother.
I'll just tell you what happened and then you can watch it.
I'm sure the internet will get hold of it. The internet gets hold of everything.
But that's the if you haven't heard it, I'm sure you have. That's the first place you can check out the trailer. When the episode one trailer came out all those years ago, people were paying to go to the cinema just to watch the trailer and then leaving.
Yeah.
But I still stand by the fact that that first Star Wars Episode 1 trailer made the film look fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It looked so good. It still looks good. When I watched that trailer for Episode 1, I'm like, man, this film could have been amazing.
I haven't seen the trailer.
Oh, man.
Well, I probably have, but I just can't remember it.
It's awesome. It starts with, like, a woodland, like, forest of trees and, like, smoky woodland and then, like, some creature. It's so good, man. It makes the film look amazing.
Let's have a little look.
You're going to watch it right now?
Yeah. Well, what do we think of that trailer?
Star Wars Episode 1 trailer that's like 15 years old.
Star Wars Episode 1 trailer. You know what? That trailer, pretty much, when you've seen the film, years on, obviously, that's pretty much the whole film in a trailer, isn't it? That's too much, I feel.
You know what, though? I feel like you're looking at it in hindsight.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Like... I look at it now and I'm like, oh, you know, oh yeah, I know that bit. Oh, that bit's not very good. But when I saw that trailer, I remember as a kid seeing that and being like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This looks amazing.
It does give a lot of the story away though.
Yeah, but everyone know what the story's going to be about.
I guess, yeah.
It's like a young Vader.
Compared to this trailer, which is so cryptic.
Yeah, but this is just like a teaser. We didn't even have teasers back then.
Yeah, true.
The full on trailer. It's going to be on Ultron.
So this is the full-on trailer for Ultron.
The one that's on the beginning of Ultron will be the first proper trailer.
Wow. See, it is worth the money. It is worth £7, I see that. But I'm sure the internet will get it. I'm sure someone with a GoPro will film it in the cinema if they need to and bring it.
Okay, other Star Wars news.
Near you.
It's not really news, and this is kind of old because this is a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I never mentioned it last week. They've been doing the, StarWars.com have been doing like a fan films thing. And someone posted up, a Star Wars animated in the style of like, anime TIE Fighter, like, short cartoon thing. Watched it last week. I think it's like 7 minutes long, something like that.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
It was amazing.
It was fucking awesome, right?
It was like, what's the Daft Punk film?
Interstellar 555.
It's like that crossed with... Well, I guess that is already kind of already taken.
Yeah.
For someone who doesn't watch a lot of anime, it's the Daft Punk that's for me, but I suppose people would say Daft Punk is like Evangelion or something.
But yeah, I thought it was awesome. I would watch
it. It's crazily good.
I can't believe it's done by such a small group of people. Basically, like one guy did that.
That's just amazing. Nuts.
It looks incredible.
It's probably one of the best things I've seen.
If you haven't seen it, we compel you to go check it out.
Bob will repost the link.
You know what? I'll repost it on my Twitter.
Yeah.
Which is at Bob Shoy, at BobShoy. If you want to add me on Twitter, comment, chat.
So I'm going to check that out later.
Whatever. You just type in TIE Fighter to YouTube, it is like right up there. It's like number one. TIE Fighter short film. It's really great. 7.5 minutes long. And you're seeing some space fights from the side of the Empire. Recommend that fully. Anything else, Tis? New Star Wars things out this week? They showed the Square Enix designed Star Wars figures of Vader, yeah. Boba Fett, Stormtroopers.
Yeah, I was. They're cool.
They're cool.
Good concepts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, check them out. They're quite interesting to see.
Yeah.
And not quite news, but new release comics this week, Star Wars, Marvel Comics, Kanan, The Last Padawan, issue 1. Which I wasn't expecting to be very good, maybe a little of a cash grab. I wasn't expecting it to have solid art, writing, or anything, really. But I picked it up. And Tis, you picked it up?
Yep.
What do you think of that?
Amazing.
I really liked it.
Really good.
Yeah. And you haven't even finished reading issue 1.
I haven't even finished it. It's definitely better than Leia, in my eyes.
In your eyes.
Maybe because you've got Vader and Star Wars that are in that same time frame, and then this other one. I find the whole feel about the Clone Wars and after the Clone Wars, do you find like everything's like, I don't know, it just looks different.
Yeah.
It's a different feel of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I like getting that different feel.
I definitely liked seeing some like Clone Wars era stuff again.
Yeah.
Because other people slag off the prequels, but the good stuff is good.
Yeah.
And the lore is interesting, and I love the Clone Wars TV series, and it really captured the feeling of like the high quality episodes of that in the comic.
Yeah.
I really like what they're doing with Kanan's character. Like they've got an original character, and they're weaving into the canon, but in an interesting way. You've got like him with the rebellion with the TV series. You've got this comic, which is his childhood, and him as a Padawan, and then you've got the book that came out, A New Dawn, which I haven't read yet. I've ordered the paperback. It should come this month, next month. I'll read that. And that's sort of like the in-betweeny section, I guess.
Yeah.
But they're using different mediums to flesh out this new character. And he doesn't feel out of place in the universe. It's like weaved in quite nicely.
Yeah.
It's like an interesting new character.
I look forward to the fact that, we're always going to have comic book series coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, like, because it's so vast, the universe.
Yeah.
That they're going to move on to some more risky kind of things. Like, you could get comic books of just random Jedi Masters.
Yeah.
Which you knew nothing about.
I almost look forward to, like, new, interesting characters as much as I look forward to the prospect of, like, existing characters.
Yeah.
Like, I look forward to a new character series.
Yeah.
That's within the time frame as much as I'd look forward to, like, a Han Solo.
Yeah.
Solo series. Because they're doing, like, Leia as a mini-series. It's 5 issues. It's a one-and-done story, and that's that.
Yeah.
You could do 5 issues. Like, they can take a punt on anyone.
Exactly.
Marvel aren't going to lose money
anyone,
because people doesn't know the character.
But it would always... There's no character I could think of apart from 3PO.
Who's the only one that's confirmed to get their own series?
Yeah. Any other character in the Star Wars universe. And Jar Jar. Sorry. Jar Jar is bottom of the pile.
I love that. I said this to you before, but I love the idea of them doing a series just called like Bounty Hunters.
Yeah.
And each story arc is like a different bounty hunter, and their missions and stuff like that. And you can do a short story, a longer story, one issue.
If it went along the line of those bounty hunters in the, when Darth Vader's
in Empire, you can do like a Bosk story arc, Dengar, you can go through them all, yeah. True. I would read that. To the Americans, we really appreciate having American audience. More listeners in America than the UK now. Maybe they find our accents so charming.
Maybe. Maybe not.
So in a, but 2 weeks, we've got the, Jibs game, which we spoke about on here. One of our friends who's not into Star Wars, not into role playing, not into any of this sort of thing.
But he is into Game of Thrones.
But he's into Game of Thrones, apparently, we found out today.
That's like, okay.
He is gonna come up, he doesn't talk here at the moment, he's gonna come up and join a game. We're gonna run the Under the Black Sun game, which is available on the FFG website. I'm gonna GM, and we're gonna have a full six character roster, so that all five members of our normal group, plus Jibs. So we're gonna get Jibs on the phone now, and I'm gonna ring him up and get a little bit of a pre-game interview, and see what he's got to say for himself now.
Oh yeah, I'm ringing now. Hey man, hello. Hey, hello.
Tis, what do we talk about? Anything. Oh, it's good, isn't it? This is why he's my co-host.
I bet it's a fucking barrel of laughter in there.
We're recording now, but we don't want to use all this. I'm going to have to cut it all out because this is just us saying hi.
All right. I'll save my best material for later then.
Yeah, okay. I'll tell you what, let's just go into recording. When I say now, we're going to start recording.
Okay, what do you want me to do? Just act exactly the same as I am now?
Just act like I just got you on the phone.
All right.
Because we're going to cut this into the middle of the episode, so we've already been talking. And then I'll be like, no, we're going to get Jibs on the phone. So, now. So we've got Jibs on the phone with us, on the blower.
On the old blower.
All the way from, where are you living at the moment, Jibs?
I'm in Torquay at the moment.
You can say whatever you want. You know what, we're certified on iTunes as an explicit pod.
Oh, this pod is explicit.
Say whatever you bloody well want.
You've got no regulation online either, you can do what you like.
Yeah. Enough of the chit-chat, down to the brass tacks.
Okay.
Next weekend.
Yep.
It's the Jibs game.
Is that what it's actually being called as well?
It's what it's being known as. It's what it is on the calendar. It's what we've been referring to it on here. This is big news.
That makes me feel quite important.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it in a way.
I thought you might be.
Yeah, I'm kind of intrigued, interested. I'm not worried, but I am pensive about it all. I've been thinking. I have no idea exactly what goes on, how it's going to work out, so.
Well, that's the thing. This is why we're calling you. This is like the, pre-game interview.
Yeah.
So people can get a sort of idea of your knowledge. So you've never played any, role-playing game?
No, I'm not even really sure how exactly it works, like what the actual concept of it is, which I assume will be properly explained to me beforehand.
What are your, without knowing, like, what it is, what are your thoughts on what to expect? Like, how do you think it works?
Well, like I said to you the other time, I was like, do I need to dress up? Because I'm not sure how serious it is. You said you don't really go for that kind of thing, more of just a sort of character-based, you don't need to. But I'm not sure, do I need to be a person? Am I myself in character? Or am I a different person? Do I have to pretend I'm a different person? And how does someone win? What's the overall outcome? I don't understand what happens, where we go from the start.
It's like a storyline, and everyone is in their character for the story.
Yeah.
And at different events.
So is my character just a name, and I can make whatever personality they have, or do I have a personality?
Well, for this one.
If it says he's a douchebag, I have to be a douchebag.
For this game, you're gonna have like a character given to you, because it's like, it's a pre-made game.
Okay.
I know you didn't want to be any disgusting aliens.
No, I was kind of avoiding that. I thought Tis could be something like that.
So I made you the human. You're like the human on the team.
Okay. Am I totally 100% human?
Yeah, you're like the Han of the team. You're a bit of a scoundrel.
Ham?
Yeah, Han Solo. You have seen Star Wars, right?
No, I thought you said Ham. I was thinking of Toy Story.
Oh,
like,
yeah, you're the Ham. Tis is Slinky Dog.
I thought, what an odd reference to come up with, like Ham from Toy Story. I thought, what even personality did he have? I'm like, Ham, that's pretty cool. Ham's like the better, I mean, generally considered to be like the cool one, right?
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
I know who he is, Harrison Ford.
You have seen the Star Wars films, right?
I've seen them, yeah. You were there when I saw them. Yeah, that was the first and last time that I saw them.
That's what I was going to ask. Have you watched them again? That's the first time
you've
seen
them. No. I forget characters' names sometimes. I don't remember exactly what happened. I know basically how it all went on. I remember most of the characters and the plot. I remember, it sounds good. I'm looking forward to it. Have you got any, am I allowed any information? Any, like, little spoilers ahead of it? Like, do you know who my character is?
I sent you that little picture of him, right?
You sent me a little picture of him.
Yeah, on WhatsApp.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You did. He was muscular and vascular.
That's it. That's
I remember.
Bit.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Matt, so you're going to be Matt Tweed. I think you're a smuggler.
Smuggler.
Yeah.
What kind of smuggler? I don't want in the game any kind of like slurs against my character, or I don't also want to set him up for any hilarious unfair jokes. You know,
I don't know how it's going to go. You might even be the leader. So how it works out is
leader. I like the sound of that.
Normally, you'd make your own character. There's always one person who has to be the GM, which is the
What's
games
that?
Master,
oh,
and they
the
run
manager.
The game. Think of it as, you know, you got them choose your own adventure books.
Yes, I do know them, yeah.
I'll say to you, like, this is happening, and you walk in a room, and you see this and that, and there's
you make
a
decision, yeah.
Yeah, and then I say to you, what do you want to do? And you can tell me anything that you want to do.
Yeah.
And then I have to react, and I have to keep the story going, depending on what you guys want to do. And you have to roll dice to see if you're effective or successful in the things you say you want to do.
All right.
It's quite simple to learn.
Exactly. Got to remember your information, remember your character, and just...
You'll have your sheet in front of you. Like, in the game I GM a game, and Tis GMs a game.
Yeah.
We do them on alternate weeks. Every Wednesday we meet up, and we take turns. Tis, now you're back at the table. Tell Jibs about your character in our Edge of the Empire game.
Okay, so, I don't know if you can hear me, Jibs. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Well, my character... Sorry, what was I saying? My character.
Yeah, just tell him about your character in Edge of the Empire.
My character is a Wookiee, which is like Chewbacca.
What's a... Okay, yep. That's no surprise. Called what?
Called Yorin.
Yeah, did you make that name up?
Yeah. But, yeah, he's a battle-ready Wookiee. Bit of sass.
Oh, God.
Lots of sass. Yeah, that...
It sounds great, mate. I'm really,
yeah,
really
that's,
happy
that's
about
my
that.
Character.
Well, you play him in every game?
I play him in every game that Bob writes, yeah.
Alright, and who's Bob's character?
Well, I've only just got my first character, because Tis has only just started having his games.
So
I've just made a character, which is, like, my games are all about, like, smugglers and aliens and, like, scum.
Yeah, nice.
And Tis's games are all about, like, the rebellion. Like, a bit like Luke Skywalker and, like, Rogue Squadron against the Empire and stuff like that. So his are more, like, tactical.
Okay.
So my character on Tis is an Ithorian.
What's that? You don't know
what an Ithorian is, right?
No.
No, he's, like, sure. A big, like, hammerhead guy.
He's a big hammerhead?
Big brown hammerhead guy with four throats. He was a doctor, but then when the war started going on, he decided to use his skills to help out with the rebellion, and he became a field medic in the field with his little team.
Nice. I think I would rather go down the modest field and be like, oh, he was all right. He worked in the bakery on Tatooine for a few years, and just, you know, what's your guy called?
I haven't given him a name yet.
Oh, dear.
Give me a weird alien name that I could possibly use. For a guy that has, like, a hammerhead, a brown hammerhead, sort of shaped head.
Why didn't you call him something related to hammers? Like, call him, no, I am going to get something. Don't, let's not leave this. Call him, like, sledgehammer. Call him Sledge.
Dr. Sledge.
Dr. Sledge Thorlax.
Okay.
Thorlax.
Yeah, I don't know. What is a thorax? Is that
you
part
panicked.
Of the body?
Just added that
thorax
bit at the end.
Is a word that rhymes with snorlax.
That's the only thing a thorax is. Famous for rhyming with snorlax.
Thorlax.
Sledge thorax, yeah.
Right,
like
I'm going to write that down. I'm going to consider it. Okay, that's good. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over Beef's, get in his lounge, get around the table, get some gaming on. Beef's
yep.
going to cook us some bacon sandwiches.
Nice.
I don't know if he knows that yet.
He'll find out eventually.
Yeah. What we're going to do is we're going to record the whole game, I think.
All right. I'm looking forward to it then.
Okay, we're glad you're keen.
Good. I am well keen. I'm well up for it. I'm excited.
It was lovely chatting to you for a little pre-game interview.
Yep, it was nice to chat to you guys as well. I'm well pumped.
We'll record the game, and then we'll afterwards we'll have a little post-game interview as well to see how you felt after.
Ooh. All right. Hopefully I'll still be in good spirits.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine it'll take too much out of me, but I don't know. Might be a shock to the system. I will, I'll look forward to it, and I'll see you in just over a week.
Jibs.
Yeah?
May the force be with you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, that was an interesting conversation with Jibs. Oh. What's he like?
Oh, riveting.
So that's Jibs. You're going to hear more of him. We're going to record the game, the Jibs game, Under the Black Sun, next Sunday, and I'll edit it and get it up as soon as possible after that. Tis, last week we made our Age of Rebellion characters.
Yep.
And you have been moving house since then.
Yeah.
You're carrying on GMing next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Your first GM session in this arc of the story,
yeah.
Your first...
I'm writing it this weekend. It's pretty much written already. It's just, you know, making it all work in the game. And story is written, though.
You know what? It'll be my first time playing as a character that I've made.
Yeah.
Even though we've been playing...
Exactly. Getting into character.
We've been playing since...
masterminded.
Since, like, last October or something. This is my first time actually playing as my own character.
This will be my first time GMing my own story.
I even bought my own specialization deck. I was that excited. The only one. All you guys have been playing since October. And I'm the only one who's bought a specialization deck because I was so excited.
Not made of money.
Not made of money. They are expensive for what they are. I don't know if they're cheaper in America, but they cost us £6 to get here. I think that's really expensive for like 20 pieces of card.
It's about $12.
You think it would be?
Roughly.
Yeah. $10 to $12.
$10 to $12.
That's a lot. No way would that be like $12 in America.
No. It would be $6. Yeah. $4 maybe.
I'm getting ripped. I crumbled, I panicked. But I'll be playing as my soldier medic character who Jibs just gave me the name for. Dr. Sledge Thorlax. Am I keeping that?
You can do.
I recently bought the Beyond the Rim adventure module for Edge of the Empire.
Yeah.
And I'll be running that soon, so I'll be letting you know how I handle that as well.
Yeah.
What else we got coming up?
We've got that game next week. We've got the Jibs game the week after that.
You're GMing again?
Yeah, probably, actually, yeah. I'd say depending on how this
game goes. Are we doing the
weekend
anyway? Are we spending all my time doing Black Sun prep?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, sure. Because this is like a four-day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Or 4 days to write.
It's the Easter bank holiday weekend, so happy Easter to anyone listening. I'll try and get it up over the bank holiday so you can all enjoy this while you eat your eggs.
Yeah. If we get it up after, then hope you had a happy Easter.
Hmm. So the EU, everything before Disney took over is the expanded universe. And that is now not canon. It's just glorified fan fiction.
Yeah.
And they are still reprinting classic stories. And they're under the banner Legends now. This is a little game I thought of. But tell me what you think about this idea. Okay. If we have a guest on the show, I want to do, I've thought of a sort of name, but it's pretty bad.
Okay.
The idea of the game is, because you've only read like the Thrawn trilogy of the EU. And that's it. You don't know any other of the EU stuff.
No.
And everyone else in our group has never read any EU stuff. Apart from Becca, who I might have said stuff to. And I've only read like 5-6 EU books ever.
Yeah.
And what I was going to do is scour and find like the weirdest, sort of stupidest stories that were ever put into the EU. And then I was going to give you three stories.
Yeah.
Or three things that happened. But one of them would be fake. One of them would be one I made up.
Okay.
And you'd have to identify which is the fake one of the three I tell you.
Okay.
And I was going to call it EU. Or P-U.
Nice wordplay.
And I was just going to have, like, if you get it right, I'll give you three examples, then I'd give B three examples, and you'd get to choose, and I'd keep a running tally going.
I think that would work, because I don't know enough.
No, that's it. No one does. I can make up all sorts of stuff.
And even the ones I've read, I'm not going to remember every little detail.
Yeah. I just wouldn't use anything out of Thrawn Trilogy, and it'd be fine. Because there are some really weird ones.
Yeah, there are some really weird ones.
So, that's my idea for EU or PU.
Excellent.
Let me know what you think on the FFG forums or on Twitter. If you can think of a better name, I would be really appreciative, because that took me ages to think of that name, and it's still pretty
EU
stinky.
EU or PU.
Yeah. So that's upcoming. I'm going to try and think of other games, because I think it's a fun thing to chuck in every now and then.
Definitely.
We're trying to think of more features to put into the podcast to get it flowing better. Obviously, we're still in our, like,
early stages.
Fetal stages here.
Yeah.
Obviously, every week we talk about, like, stuff that's coming up, like news and stuff, so that's sort of a feature in its own right, and we talk about a quick comment on if there's any comics coming out that week, and what we're doing in the game and stuff like that. We need to think of some names for some of these features, add some snappy jingles or something.
Yeah.
The other thing we're going to do is try and get people on to do a character feature, like a weekly character feature. So if Beef's here, we can say to Beef, tell us about your character. He can choose either his character from Age of Rebellion or Edge of the Empire, and he can just give you his character's background and everything, and give people ideas on just building characters, like, things. Just to give people who are listening ideas on, like, different character types they could use, or just to hear other people's character choices is interesting anyway, what they choose. So that's another feature I want to put in, try and get someone talking about their character once an episode or something. I mean, you heard me and Tiss talk about our characters briefly to Jibs in this episode, but eventually we'll get around to doing, like, a proper character feature on ourselves as well. So that's another feature I want. Tiss, did you have any other ideas for features?
No. The games is a good one. I'll think of games.
Yeah, I thought of that.
Some fun games. I mean, not really a feature, but an occurring topic will be when we're writing our stories. The more we delve into it, the more we're going to kind of chat about how we're adding new mechanics to the game.
Yeah, that's another thing we really like. We're both really interested in adding mechanics to the dice rolling system, the narrative system. I read in the, I can't remember, there's a source book for Edge of the Empire, for the Corellian sector anyway, and I took the, I haven't got that source book, but there's a free encounter for it on the FFG website as well, called Taming the Dragon, which gives you an example on using dice rolls in a swoop bike race through the swamps of Corellia. And I took that, and we did that, and it was interesting to see the dice mechanics being used in different ways, like for a race. And then I took, that encouraged me to try and think of other things to do with the dice. So I had, one of our players, Claire, her character is a Bothan character who was in slavery until she, escaped with one of our other players' characters. But she doesn't know her past. She was born into slavery. She doesn't know her family. And what's one of her, like, obligations is trying to track down her family and find out where she came from. So while the other guys were doing the race, I had her go to, like, a meditation tutor. So I'd jump between the race and her, and I was having her roll to try and, like, meditate and learn and unblock mental barriers. And it was all, it was like resilience rolls, and I can't remember what else I was putting in there, but it was just another way to use the dice for something more interesting and something we really want to try and push. Tis, what was the idea you said about, in terms of, like, going up against a harder enemy and stacking triumphs?
Oh yeah, that was like in combat. So if you roll triumphs, you could trade the triumphs and pile them up and use them. Each triumph would gain you 20 plus on your crit, on a crit next on your a crit of your choice, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And you could stack them. So if you get triumphs throughout the encounter,
and you could hold them back.
You could hold them back. But so the gamble is that once you use that triumph, you kind of, you're gambling that you're going to get more triumphs or a crit again.
Yeah.
So if you don't get a crit again.
So if you've rolled three triumphs in the encounter so far, you might have 60. You've held back 60 crit, and then you roll enough advantage to do a crit.
Or another triumph.
Or use your triumph for a crit.
For crit, yeah.
So then you are, okay, I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
And then you might roll 100. And then you've done 160 on a crit, and they're dead instantly.
They're dead, yeah.
But you might roll, like, 10, and then okay, so you've got 60, it's still only 70.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's the gamble.
That's the idea you had.
But it gives you a good head start. Especially for big bosses.
I really like the idea of using different, using the dice rolls for all sorts of interesting things. And I would really like to hear other people listening, if you had any cool ideas or things you've tried. I'd really love that. I'd love to talk about that on future shows. So if you, again, Twitter's probably the easiest way to contact me. If you just follow me at Bob Shoy, that's at B-O-B-S-H-O-Y, or you follow Tiss at TissRWolf. That's at TissareWolf. Really love to hear creative ways you've used the dice system in this game.
Mm. Especially with Triumphs, because I find Triumph.
You want it to mean something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you could have loads of different ways, it would just give you a pool of things you could do with those triumphs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit more strategic.
Because
if you start pooling the crits, you're not going to start using it for something else and tail off. It's going to be like... But like, it's say...
It's gambling if you're going to make that get another one in your
That's good for if you're against a big boss, but what if you're against like a gang of things, like...
It's not worth you holding it back.
But there'd be a cool thing for another one where you could, like, I don't know. Yeah, that's one to think about. That's the suggestions.
Yeah, look, that's a possible another feature. We just straight off there.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, what people suggest. Anything. Just triumphs or rolls or anything. Especially, actually, like, if you get, like, 5 advantage or something.
Mm.
Because it's hard to really get an idea of how much advantage 5 advantage is. That's a lot of advantage.
Unless they've got a weapon where it's like crit 5.
Yeah.
And then you're okay, you did a crit. But if it's like crit 2, plus you can pass a boost, plus you can...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the other thing is I don't like using just the same things every time.
No, that's...
When they keep getting disadvantage, I don't want to just be every time like, strain. You got strain.
Yeah.
You suffered some more strain. It gets, you want to like mix up a bit.
Yeah.
And try and be creative with your advantage and disadvantage.
Yeah. You want the dice rolls to really mean something.
Mm.
To make them even more fun than they already are.
The more narrative and, like visceral you can make it, the better.
Yeah.
You want people to feel like they're in that situation and that role.
Yeah.
Is going to mean something.
You don't want it to just seem like mathematics.
Yeah.
Pure mathematics.
Which, if people aren't fully focused, there's been many times where it's happened, it can feel just like I'm sitting there doing maths.
Yeah.
And I really hate when it gets that way. You've got to try and keep it explosive.
Because you want people to be thinking, oh, I hope I get this, because if I get that, then, you know, this new thing can happen and stuff like that.
The other thing that, whereas I found it quite hard as a GM, and sometimes I still struggle to set the right difficulty, because if the enemies aren't hard enough, then you're just like rolling until you've chipped them all down to 0.
Yeah.
If they start dealing you some real damage, that's when it's like the dice rolls really seem to count. If I put you up against a hard enemy, you guys always suddenly are like, oh shit, this guy's going to...
I feel like the enemies I put you up against in the starter game were a bit too much, though.
Yeah. You went the other way. You were much. Like, this is probably okay for a starter. And we was like, fuck.
Yeah, we got into
it. I nearly died, like, instantly.
Wow, yeah, it was very hard.
But then there's been a few times where I put you up against the big boss. Like when I made that droid RX-99 Rex.
Yeah.
He was like, he was been a long time coming because he had been showing up and showing up.
Yeah.
And you really had to fight him down. And that was a big battle and you guys were all, that felt like a proper fight.
Yeah.
You were all into
it. The fact that we managed to get rid of his,
you kept rolling triumphs and like chipping his weapons down so we had less attacks.
Yeah.
It's like when you fight a boss on a computer game.
Yeah.
And you take down their missiles and then you've got to worry about the like sword or whatever.
Exactly,
I don't know.
Yeah.
So that, when you've got a hard boss battle, it always makes people like pay more attention. It's more fun.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is setting the difficulty just right. But you don't want every fight to like spank people.
No.
Sometimes you are going to have to like dutifully take out a bunch of minions.
Yeah. But then maybe there could be some sort of like counter thing where maybe you're not going to die, but maybe it will set off alarms that will make your mission a bit harder or something. Something that you're trying to achieve harder.
Something else I'm interested in, this is for listeners contacting us again. I would really like to hear ways that people set atmosphere during the game. Because sometimes we have music on, like Star Wars music, obviously.
Yeah.
Like AC/DC.
Yeah.
This is a tip from me. GM Shoy's tip of the week. New feature. If you go on the Old Republic, the BioWare game, the MMO, if you go on the website for that, you can download the soundtrack for free. And I find that really good because all that music is written to be background music with a Star Wars vibe. and I use that one a lot. It's good backing music for the game. It gets the tone right without being like the same old like. You don't want that running like all the time in the background.
I actually think often at work that I'd love to, if I had time to do the story and sort out a bit of a soundtrack, get a few environments looping.
Yeah.
For different sections and have their own soundscapes, but that.
It's a lot of work. I've done it a couple of times. On StarWars.com they have loads of soundboards.
Yeah.
And I've sometimes had that tab open. It's easier like in Space Combat because you can open up different tabs like space or villains or whatever sound effects you choose. I've done it a couple of times when you've been in space battles and had the explosions and stuff in the background. It's a lot of extra work for the GM. That's the problem. A lot of this stuff is extra work. I saw someone on the forums saying about how sometimes they even give out like artifacts to people in the game. Like, oh, you find an old map. And instead of just putting the map down, he'll actually, it's like an old map that he's made and he'll like hand it to them and, or like, an old coin or like something they find.
Yeah.
And he'll actually have it physically and give it to the group and really involves them. Brilliant.
Yeah.
I love that. If anyone listening does anything like that, that's brilliant. That's like really going above and beyond your duties as a GM. It makes it so much more involving.
Yeah.
I haven't done anything like that. No. I haven't had time, but maybe I should go all out for the Jibs game so he thinks, oh, wow, this is what it's like every week.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So anyways, that you add atmosphere to your games as a GM, or if you're a player anyway, your GM adds atmosphere, or the ways you would like to see your GM add atmosphere.
Within reason.
Within reason. I mean, come on, give us a break.
Yeah.
as a player... Is there anything you wish I did in terms of atmosphere in the game?
In what sense?
Anything, like more or less music, sound effects, more maps, less maps. Oh, I don't really use maps.
I don't know, it's not something I get peeved at or anything.
No, I don't want to start a row.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, no.
I always want us to be very candid and open on this show.
Not really. No, I think it's discretion as GM, I think, like, sound effects and stuff like that is, like, cool, but it's not, like, I think it's, like, extra.
Yeah.
That is, like, extra, and I feel like you can't really be, like, oh, they should really be doing that. It's, like, that is extra. The story takes a long time.
Yeah.
And not only that, it's a lot of buttons to press between.
That's the thing that's hard, because you've GM'd a couple of times now. You already know there's so much doing behind that screen without having to worry about pressing the right button.
Exactly.
They heard an explosion.
It's like... when you're GMing, you're like, your brain's just like a computer calculating everyone's moves.
Yeah.
And it's like...
And possible, like, outcomes of what, like, narratively.
Yeah. And it's trying to take it in that vein of what you've written originally. And let's face it, everyone who writes their stories has an idea of where they'd like it to go.
Yeah.
But that very quickly changes when they start playing the game, no matter what. So it's kind of... It's either trying to run with it completely, but I feel like you can never be too free because you'd always romanticise about how you'd want it to play out.
That's, you know what, sometimes a GM, it's better to not over plan a game.
It's hard not to, though.
I wrote about 4 or 5 different NPCs, all with real different interesting characters and backstories that could have led to different storylines. And I really liked all these characters. Mm. And I had them all in the cells when you guys were like sneaking onto that Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
And you guys never even went downstairs to the cells. And I was like, well, they could get thrown in the cells if they get caught. Or they might be exploring the ship and they would find these guys in the cells and they'd shout down the corridor towards them.
Yeah.
You didn't go, there was no way for me to bring them characters in.
No.
And they were so cool. But you know what? I kept those characters.
Yeah.
I can just chuck them in somewhere else.
That's the cool thing, though. Yeah.
It's good to have a notebook and you can just, if you think of a cool character, just write them down. And you've always got that, oh, I need a character for this situation. I'm writing, wait, I'll look back in my section in my little notebook of characters. Well, they'd be perfect and you can pull them out.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I guess I get too attached to stories when I'm writing them.
The other thing in terms of atmosphere and GMing is, like we said, the maps.
Yeah.
Now, you made a map.
Yeah.
For your last session.
Yeah.
Which is really nice.
That was purely I just thought it would be a lot easier if I had a map just so, as I'm explaining it, you can kind of see it, and it's like, I can kind of, you know, because I've kind of imagined it pre-imagined it, and then I can use it as reference for any questions, rather than picking it out of my head and trying to make a picture of it, like...
Do you think it's something you would do more of?
Definitely.
Like, make maps, yeah, something you want to do in your campaign?
Yeah.
Do you wish I made maps more?
The thing is, I don't use it for you guys. I use it for me.
Trying to keep track of where we are.
Yeah.
I do admit sometimes in a combat situation, especially, I find it really more involving because you can move the position. Because especially you've got tokens. I've got the Imperial Assault game, which has like all the little figures. And, that's perfect. When we had that little shootout in the base in your story, we had all the figures there and had them hiding behind the doors and stuff. And you can see it all in front of you.
Exactly.
It made it so much more involving.
But when we had it in the base before, it was harder because we couldn't really picture, like, I don't know, we could picture it, but it was just, for me, it was more stressful because you can't keep track of everything.
I find there's real pros and cons to using maps. Like, I love having the figures down and the layout, and you can, like I say, oh, there's some crates on the map then, I'm hiding behind those crates and all that stuff. But at the same time, it's almost like the characters have got too much information in front of them sometimes. It's like, oh, they just look at the map like it's on a computer game. Like, I want to search that room, and they just keep pointing to the rooms. And you're like,
yeah, definitely.
How would you even know that room was there in real life?
Yeah. But you could always have little black pieces of card covering.
Yeah, yeah.
I know a lot of board games, like there's a Doom game where literally you build the map.
You uncover it as they go.
Yeah. Yeah, but you could always do that. You could uncover the map as they go. I felt like with the Star Destroyer.
I did do that with one of my games. Do you remember I made
the first one,
map,
wasn't it?
And it wasn't the first one. It was one of the pre-made games, but I did a map. I drew out a map for the mines. It was when you, the robot, where the robots had taken over, that storyline. And I made the map and I was uncovering it as you went through the mines.
Yeah.
And that worked on that story. But then in the second session, you had to fight your way back through. But I just had the whole thing uncovered because you'd already been through it or you knew the layout.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like I should do more, but I find, I don't know, my stories are very, like, you're going from location to location to location really quickly.
Yeah.
And it's all a bit like ragtag, and we're jumping in a ship and you're flying to an asteroid and you're shooting some guy and then you're jumping out in a parachute and
yeah.
None of that ever happened.
To be honest, for my maps, they'll mostly be the maps for the base. And if there's combat situations.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the diplomacy and the stuff in between, as you said, it's quite quick-paced, and to have a map, which is going to last 2 seconds, is just pointless.
There are times when I've done maps to you, but I've it's been really like abstract. Like, I've just put a sheet of paper down in the middle of the table and got a pencil and just been like, there's a guy kind of here, and then there's that, and just drawn like crosses and a circle, and like the room's roughly this shape. And I've done that a few times.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only way I'll sort of do maps, unless it's specific to that story. I need a map. I've done them sort of like vague things.
Yeah.
But with the Imperial Assault figures, which we have now,
yeah,
even if you don't have a map, you can still have them down on the table in a combat situation and have things. Like, if everyone's got things laying around when they're playing the game, you can grab a spare dice and put it down and be like, well, there's a big oil tank here and I'm hiding behind it. Hope no one shoots it. Hope it doesn't explode.
Yeah.
I don't know, there are programs online as well that you can use to, like, draw out maps and print off. And even the Imperial Assault map tiles, I thought, oh, I could use them to sort of roughly
make the
shape of the place, but...
There's many different ways. For your other map ideas, you can tweet in to Bob Shoy.
Yeah, how do you use maps?
Yeah.
Let me know. I keep saying, like, oh, put it on the forums, but I'm like, how do they even know to find me on the forums?
Yeah. Because I got the map idea from... you told me to watch a Dungeons & Dragons documentary called Dungeon Masters.
Yeah.
I YouTubed it, and I got a very different documentary, which wasn't quite as... it was more flattering towards...
Yeah, the Dungeon Masters show that I've seen that is a real sort of like, look at the freaks, look at them playing a game, and the worst sort of people that would...
Did you watch the one that I watched?
No, I haven't. I do want to watch that, though. I completely forgot about it.
That was actually like... a genuine, like, it was made by them, for them, you mm-hmm. know, for the Games Masters and stuff, and it was actually really good. And I looked at how much detail they go into, because it's kind of their whole lives. They love doing the games.
I mean, D&D a lot more, because it is, you need the map, and it's very, orientated on, like, well, I'm this amount of spaces away from someone, and I need to do this amount of damage, and it's much more specific. Based. Yeah. FFG system's so much more abstract. Which I like more, you've got more flexibility.
Yeah.
But I can understand if you've played D&D for a long time, you're like, this is too loose, I can't get my head around it. What do you mean there's no map? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Use my imagination?
Yeah.
Like, you're not using your imagination enough playing a role-playing game.
Yeah. But it was actually a good documentary, and when I was watching it, I was thinking, oh, this isn't quite as...
Wasn't like I told you.
Yeah, and then I watched the trailer for Dungeon Masters, and I was just like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, it doesn't...
It's just like, oh, it's just so rubbish, like...
They picked out the worst. I've watched it twice.
It's almost like it was made by people who take the piss out of that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
For people who take the piss out of that sort of thing. It's not like for Dungeons & Dragons people.
No, because anyone I know who is into it, or I've seen online on forums, they always sort of roll their eyes at that. Like, they made us look so stupid.
Yeah.
That's exactly what people think of people who do role-playing games, and that's exactly what they made it look like, rather than being like, hey, look, normal people like playing games as well. I work on a building site. A week, I'm fucking bored and physically aching and whatever.
Yeah.
I can have 3 hours pretending I'm fucking flying through space a week. Give that to me as a bit of escapism.
Yeah.
The same for everyone else who works, does their, well, in our group, we all look forward to it in the middle of the week, because it's, that's why I like doing it on Wednesday as well, because it really is like the middle of the week, and it's like getting over that hump, the midweek hump, and you have a bit of escapism in the middle of the week, and then it's the weekend for you, know it. Great.
For me, in my head, it's not geeky.
No.
I don't even find it geeky, but I know that when you mention it to people, but I'm pretty sure most of the people that I've mentioned it to, if they were here and they actually saw it, they'd be like, okay, it's fair enough. Yeah. It's the same as playing a computer game.
Exactly. It's no different from a computer game.
No different at all. Because let's be honest, when you're playing a computer game, you always sort of like, in your head, you're just like, yeah, you get involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're completely detached and like, that's the TV. This is real life. There's no crossover. Mm-hmm. There is crossover. Whereas this is just because it's a different medium.
And I have nothing against however far players want to take it.
Yeah.
They can take it. I mean, we're a really laid back group.
Yeah.
Maybe too laid back sometimes. But, you know, some groups, I know everyone does, they are in character and they're talking in character the whole time. And they don't go out of character.
Yeah.
And obviously people would be like, well, that's a lot more geeky.
But it's just...
But, you know what? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Life is too short to give a fuck about what other people think about what you like.
Yeah,
totally. Like whatever you want to like.
Yeah.
And don't give a fuck about what other people think.
Yeah. That's a life lesson.
That's a life lesson.
Deep.
Don't forget it.
Yeah.
You got anything else to say about that, Tis?
No.
Boring conversation anyway.
Boring conversation anyway.
Boring conversation anyway.
You know, I used to do this as a job, and you've already managed to get further out than I did.
Thanks,
man. I was actually getting paid.
We have more listeners in the US than the UK.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
We used to have a listener on Foxy Radio from Germany, and their Foxy Bingo name was Dog Sick. That was their genuine name, Dog Sick.
Horrible, I wonder if it meant something else in German.
I don't know, but it was spelt proper English, like actual dog vomit, sick. Pretty great. We just walked down to the shop to buy chocolate, you know, some chocolate stuff, because we were watching Game of Thrones, and it was lovely and mild, and no wind whatsoever. So, positive.
Sorry, Tiss's face is really confused. What's up?
Watching Game of Thrones?
Yeah, rewatching it. Yeah, not the first time, mate. I was there with the original crowd. Wow. I was one of the first men on that, bad boy. Just redoing it, just having another go. I'm watching it with my mum and dad, which just turned out to be a much more awkward experience than
Did you forget, like, 90% of the show?
No, the problem is you remember it just about 10 minutes too late, and you think, oh, shit, I should have got up and made a coffee then.